Southeast Radio's Morning Mix. Southeast
Radio. As we move on to debate number four, we're once again visiting the Wexford constituency. I'm joined in the studio by independent candidate Michael Sheen. I'm joined by Minister of State at the Department of Justice, Fianna Fáil's James Brown, and I'm joined by Councillor Jim Codd from AIN2. So you're all very, very welcome. We wish you the very best of luck as we now engage in debate number four on this year morning mix. I'm going to start off with you first, independent Councillor Michael Sheen. Why should people vote for you in the Wexford constituency?
Thanks, Alan. This is Councillor Michael Sheen. I'm your independent candidate for the general election on Friday. After 25 years of party politics, I've chosen to stand as an independent voice, free to focus on issues and matters that solely matter to you. I was born and raised in New Ross, and I've always believed in fighting for our community, and my record speaks for itself, including investment in our health services, in campaigning the future of the Charles Street Post Office, the establishment and development of a food bank. But, you know, there's a lot more we can do. And if elected, Alan, I have four key missions. I'm going to establish a 24 mental health service in County Wexford. We're going to develop an affordable housing programme that works for everyone. I'm going to support hardworking families who are facing the rabid cost of living, issues that are in our community. And I'm going to develop an ambitious renewal plan for all our towns and urban centres, which will include a retail park and a VAT rebate system in the town centres. So I'm asking the people of Wexford for their number one on Friday to bring a strong and experienced voice to the table. And if your number one vote is already chosen and you've decided, I'd be honoured for your number two vote. So on Friday, I'm asking vote number one, Michael Sheen, and together we'll build a stronger Wexford.
That was independent Councillor Michael Sheen. I'm now joined by Minister of State of Department of Justice, Fianna Fáil's James Brown. Minister, in 60 seconds, why should people vote for you?
I'm standing for election again. It's been my absolute honour to represent the people of Wexford for the last 8.5 years in the Dáil and 4.5 years as a government minister. And in that time, I've been able to help to deliver for County Wexford, a university for the southeast, and a campus here in Wexford, with the master plan now being undertaken, extensions to Wexford General Hospital, to the emergency department, the new MRI under construction, new endoscopy units, and planning and design and approval for a new 97-bed ward extension. And Roster Europort, almost €250 million investment into Roster Europort. And that will act as an economic driver for the entirety of the southeast as well as Wexford. And the M11, which had been mothballed, is now moving as quickly as legally possible and secured EU funding. But there's a lot more to be done for Wexford. These are major projects that will turn this county around. And I'm asking for the people for the opportunity to continue for that work.
All right, and to round off the 60-second submission, we are joined by Jim Codd, Councillor Jim Codd from AIN2. Jim Codd, why should people give you their number one vote?
Yeah, thank you, Alan, and good morning to your listeners. Jim Codd is my name. I'm from Tumun. I've been a teacher in Bridgetown for the last 30-odd years. I got into politics only 6 years ago, and in the local elections of the 72 candidates that ran, I got the biggest vote of all of them. I believe I got the biggest vote because I work particularly hard on the ground and the representation is real and practical. I have deep roots both in the farming community and the fishing communities. As I said, my 30 years as a teacher puts me in a particular position to understand the needs of our young people and the struggles they have. I battled in the council for the last 6 years. You've often heard me about housing, roads, GP care, and to counteract the flooding and coastal erosion that affects Wexford so badly, to name just a few. I believe Wexford needs outspoken politicians that work hard and are not afraid to pull away from the pack, as we did in AIN2 in the referendum that cost $22 million just not too long ago.
Okay.
While the rest of the politicians, Alan, sat on the fence. So a vote for me is a real vote for change.
All right, we're going to start the discussion going now. We invite you to rebut each other if you so wish, but if you maybe just put up a hand, because I don't think any of the listeners like people shouting over each other. But by all means, if you want to counteract each other's points, feel free to do so. So can I come back to you, Minister of State James Brown, and talk about the housing crisis? County Wexford is experiencing a significant housing shortage. So what specific policies will you be seeking government to implement to ensure affordable housing for all?
So housing has to be delivered both at a national and a local level, and we're seeing a significant turning of the corner in County Wexford. There's an awful lot more to be done, but over the last 4 years of this government, we've seen an over doubling of the number of houses that have been delivered compared with the previous 4 years. So just over 4,000 houses have been built in the previous 4 years. This year again, we've seen another increase. So that's a year-on-year increase, and there's been 968 houses built in 2023 and 1,025 commencements already so far this year. So we see another increase. It's been a real challenge for housing. It's a real challenge for people out there because we had a 10-year undersupply of houses in this county. But we have Fianna Fáil's plan. Since Fianna Fáil came back into government, you've seen an increase in a number of houses being delivered right across the country from 20 to 40. And the plan is there to increase that to egg again.
All right, yeah, both hands went up there from Michael Sheen first and then Jim. It's like being back in school again. Michael, you now find yourself as an independent. You possibly would have been agreeing with Minister James Brown a couple of short weeks ago. Do you disagree with him now?
I agree that we have to do a lot more in housing in the county. And I agree that the county council have been leading the charge on this. But I also can identify, Alan, and people aren't worried about which party politics you are. They're worried about whether their son or daughter will get a house. They're worried about whether they'll get an extension on the house. And increasingly, I'm finding that people are being excluded from the housing list because they're exceeding the income thresholds. So while it's good to say that we're not building enough houses, we are not building enough houses. The target of the county council is 1,154, and that's where they're heading in that direction, and they will exceed the target under the Housing for All plan. But the difficulty is, for small builders, they've been priced out of the market because the bureaucracy is too much. For the circulars coming down from government, they're too difficult. They're excluding tenants. I have a lady at the moment who is excluded from the housing list with two children with neurodivergent diagnoses. She is now off the housing list because she is over the threshold. That's not a local charge. That's set by Dublin. Now, she is off the housing list. Right? She cannot get a mortgage. She cannot rent because there's no place to rent. And when I asked the question, well, what would happen if she appears as homeless? We were told we'd send her to a homeless shelter in Goree. Here's the answer. The county council needs to quadruple its target. We need to have a target of 3,000 units, of age-appropriate units. One bed, two bed, three bed, four bed. We need to unleash the potential of small builders to go in and do small sites of less than 10 housing. At the moment, the bureaucracy and the charges on the small builders are the same as the big builders. So small builders are finding it very difficult to get any airspace in that area. Now, the council is building houses, and we'll build a lot more houses, but there is a great deal more work that we can do on helping people downsize to age-appropriate housing and also to build houses around the needs of the 4,500 people who are on the housing list.
Jim Codd.
Alan, thanks very much. Well, it's fascinating to hear Fianna Fáil defend the record on housing. Fianna Fáil have been in for the last 5 years and they've had a confidence in supply with Fine Gael for the five before that. And the reality today in Wexford is that there's 3,012 people on the housing list. And also the reality is there's a three-bedroom and a two-bedroom available in Wexford, and there's a two-bed and a three-bed available in Goree. There is no bed available on choice base letting in either Rosslare, Enniscarty or New Ross today. And what I want to know is how you're going to get the 3,012 people into the four houses. Now, the reality is, and I want to commend the Fianna Fáil of old in the 30s and 50s, built house after house, two up, two down cottages. And at the moment, we have 14,456 people homeless, 4,000 of them children. The solutions that we would put forward to this are that first of all we would drop VAT to 0% on building products until the housing emergency ends, and that's costed at $1 billion. But that has to be done. We have an emergency and we have to get the builders that are working so hard in Canada and Australia, students that I taught, we need to get them back here. Now, there's great fanfare.
How do you get them back?
Well, I'll tell you how you get them back. We have a plan called Operation Shamrock to counteract the brain drain. And our doctors, our nurses, our carpenters, block layers are all very busy, as I said, in Canada and Australia. And how we get them back, I'll tell you how we get them back. We've proposed a 5,000 incentive for people that are two years abroad working to get them back here. We need them back here.
Okay.
And a €10,000 tax break over 3 years to get back construction, health and teachers.
Okay, Michael Sheen, you don't think that works?
I think it's a very complicated solution to a very simple problem. The answer is quite simple. Give them a job. Let me tell you, I was canvassing down in Camp High last weekend and I came to a door where a lady came out and the stress on her face because she had two children waiting to see an occupational therapist. She was waiting 4 to 5 years before even it could find one. Yeah. So I said I'd look into it and see what we can do. 3 doors down, I met another lady who's a recently qualified OT, and you know what she's doing? She's planning on moving to Australia because there's a public embargo on the hiring of OT. So here's the answer. You don't have to go into this complicated way. Give the people a good job and they will stay working. So the state, like of old, like if you think of New Ross and you think of Mount Carmel, those housing estates of old were built state-living, state-driven, state-led. We should be going back to do that in addition to the approved housing bodies and the private. But they will come back if they know there's a good job here and a good place for them to live.
And they know they can get a house. Minister, like we've heard both people on either side of you, literally, Jim Codd has mentioned 3,000, what was it, 3,012 people? Is that what you mentioned, Jim? 3,012, yeah? And something like 4 properties. That's crazy.
So, as I've outlined already, and this is really important to understand, in the last 4.5 years, the number of houses being built in Wexford is doubled, over doubled, what it was the previous 4 years. The plan is working, the direction is the correct direction we're going in, and we're going to build even more houses. The target for Wexford County Council is an absolute minimum target. If they can deliver 3 times as many houses, the government will fund them to deliver those houses. There's nothing from government funding preventing that, so there's not. Our plan in terms of helping people get on the Help to Buy schemes, the First Home schemes, and all the different plans that have been brought in by the government are very effective and they are working. And as we've seen the commencements again this year increasing even further, there's an awful lot more to do. There is nobody denying that. But we're seeing the housing list going down. The thresholds referenced by Councillor Sheehan have actually increased in recent years. I think I'd like to see them increased even more. But we need to continue tearing up the plan that's there right now to start everything again. Is not the solution. Local government needs to work with central government to deliver the houses. But there is not a funding issue here. There's a massive funding available to deliver houses.
Okay, I've got to take a break in just a second. We've other issues to get on. You're side there, Jim Codd. You're not happy with
what's happening. Yeah, well, the idea about just giving them a job, they have to be able to afford to live here. And I also have to say that the approved housing bodies, which have taken on the responsibility for housing a hell of a lot of our people, I have a great problem with some of that because a tenant can never actually own their house. So what we have is a situation where they're caught in eternal rent paying. You know, so I those are the figures. That's how many need a house this morning, 3,012, and there are, as I said, 4 houses available.
Michael.
First thing is, an approved housing body can sell its property to a tenant. That law changed over 6 years ago. The second thing,
approved can't buy it.
They can. They go check the law. They can. They absolutely can. Now, approved housing bodies have one job. Approved housing bodies for the county councils have a myriad of jobs. So sometimes that gets lost in the ether. And approved housing bodies have a lot more flexibility, but they're only one string in the bow. They don't have the same statutory powers as a county council does in that regard. But and there are other things we can do. Like, as an independent TD, I will bring proposals to whatever government or whatever party. And a project that we're working on in New Ross, because I'm on the board of Cummins, we are building, in association with the local authority, we're building a housing complex for people with additional needs. So individuals have the power to come forward by that. Right. Local government will lead if the central government stay out of the way.
Okay, I got to move away from housing and move on to other topics. We're going to turn to health now in just a second. But Minister James Brown, just conclude our focus on housing. Your final summary of where you are now at with this is what? I mean, what do you say to the people this morning who are going to go to the polls and they may vote for you or they may not vote for you, but when it comes to housing, which is a key issue, what are your final thoughts, please?
Look, I'm very acutely aware that we need more homes. And the plan that has been put in place by Fianna Fáil 4.5 years ago has doubled the number of housing, more than doubled here in County Wexford. It's actually closer to 1.5 times. And with the funding that's put in place and to continue with that plan, we will increase even more homes to be delivered here in County Wexford. There is a massive undersupply that was there for 10 years, but we have turned the corner. But believe me, I acknowledge we have to go even further. But the proposals for many alternatives to simply tear up what's there now and start again, that would put us back to year zero.
Okay, Michael Sheehan.
Can I tell you that a couple with one child on minimum wage would now be thereabouts off the social housing list because the income limits have not kept up with the housing guidelines.
So they need to change, that's what you're saying.
Actually, you know what, Alan? They need to be abolished. Just drop the income limits altogether because the way our housing policy has been put in place is that if you fail, one second, excuse me, I didn't interrupt you, please, I didn't interrupt you, bit of respect there. A person who's on the housing list, right, if they're over minimum wage and are deemed not eligible for social housing because of income, they may have four or five children with additional needs. They may have health needs. Yeah. You know what, Alan? It doesn't matter because the local authority cannot overlook the fact.
Okay.
So what I'm saying there, and the second thing is, I've been in local government for almost 25 years, for over 25 years. No one has ever come to me and said, I don't want a council house, I don't want an approved housing body. But they have come to say, I want a house. And that's why I'm saying, unleash the potential of the local economy, set our targets at 3,000,
yeah,
and we will deliver. And as independent TD,
okay, I'm just conscious of time, and I want to let Jim Codd back in before we take that break. Minister, you wanted to rebut there, so...
Yeah, no, just look, if you remove all thresholds, that means everybody can apply for a local authority housing, no matter how wealthy they are, including millionaires. That's not the solution. Housing is for people who... Local authority housing is for people who need them. We have to look at the thresholds, but not abolishing them. That's not the solution, so it's not. There are other solutions there. The important thing is here, the solution to housing is supply, supply, supply. And that's why we've more than doubled the number of delivery of houses here.
Okay.
And this, I have to clarify this, because I've read this again and again in the local papers about this target to set for Wexford County Council. That is the bare minimum. And the local authority and the councillors can deliver far in excess of that, and the government will fund those houses if they want to deliver them.
I can't go take the break. Jim Codd.
Yeah, Alan, thanks very much. Look, the point is, if you don't have the people to build the houses,
yeah,
that's the reality here. We can talk facts and figures. Our builders are in Canada and Australia, and as I said, until we get them back, we have a major problem. Now, as I mentioned about approved housing bodies, I cannot understand how people are so enthusiastic to move the responsibility of housing our people away from local government, which we've done for so long. As I hark back to the Fianna Fáil of old, they had a great record in building two up, two downs, and housing their people. Now we're looking for someone else to build the houses. This is our responsibility. Also, if elected, I will demand that things move a hell of a lot faster. I've seen land, and I've done it in the county council, I've seen land sit idle. That has sat for years,
right,
that should be built on. The other thing, of course, as well, that nobody is mentioning is this. Until you have water and sewerage in the place, you can't build any houses. So a heck of a lot of our rural villages are caught without the adequate supports.
Right.
So Ishgairn is in many ways the planning department.
Let's draw a breath. I want to talk health and I want to talk cost of living in the time frame we have left. Michael, very quickly before I hit the commercial.
Yeah, that is another issue that comes in under infrastructure, is that if we can't build the water and the roads and the network to the local communities like Ramsgrange, like Camp Hoyle and Featherton, places like that, schools are going to dwindle and fall because staff numbers are based on students.
Absolutely.
And students getting older are going through the system. The answer from this is the state should be pushing Ishgairn if they can't do it, the county councils if they can and have done. So we should be pushing that infrastructures go in there. And we shouldn't be. In Ramsgrange,
okay,
we've got the bomb shelter waiting to 2026 and 27. We don't have that much time because rural schools and rural communities will die.
Okay, health is up next. Keep the comments coming in, and there are many comments coming in. I want to revisit some of those comments in just a sec. Question for Minister of State James Brown. The flood relief scheme in Enniscorthy, Minister, what's happening? Both Billy and Noel and many more have texted in as well about this. So what is the update on this?
Yeah, so about 2.5 years ago, Wexford County Council made an application to the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. The independent legal experts assessed it, said it wasn't fit for purpose. There was some commentary at the time that could further information not have been given. Since then, no new application has been made by Wexford County Council to the government for funding. So I think that alone is the evidence that, you know, it was not fit for purpose, because it's taken 2.5 years. It still has not been fixed. I discovered myself recently that the project team over it didn't meet for almost a year. So I think the question needs to be put to Wexford County Council as to why no application has been resubmitted in that 2.5 years. The funding is there from the government, but you cannot give funding when there is not an application before the government.
So you're putting the ball back in Wexford County Council's court then?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as I say, there's no application there. And I read again and again in the local paper that councillors are looking for meeting for ministers about the scheme. But what's the point in meeting with a minister? The minister has said the funding is there, but there's no application before the minister from the local authority. The local authority there need to get their act together and remake a resubmission.
Michael, on this issue.
Yeah, Alan, I met with some businesses and some residents of the area there last week when I was canvassing. And I have to say, in fairness to Minister Brown, I'm a bit shocked that the Oireachtas members are only finding out now after something that's been promised for the bones of two generations that the advance team didn't meet. Let me tell you.
No, sorry.
No, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Don't put words in my mouth.
No. But you just said that you just found out that they haven't met.
No, I didn't.
You did. You just said that you just found out they haven't met within a year.
I found out recently.
The difficulty, Michael, is the county council.
Your council.
If people give me the number one, if I'm elected on Friday, I will roll up my sleeves and I will give the service to Enniscorthy, as I would in New Ross and everywhere else, to make sure issues like Murphy floods, Temple Shannon, and the flood relief.
You're on the council, Minister.
Can I point out to James? Yeah. He is an Oireachtas member. He should have been driving this from the Dáil. The people in Enniscorthy deserve better. They deserve better than that.
I can't make the county council do what they won't do. You're on the council. I can't make them do what... I'm not a county councillor. I have relentlessly pushed the county council to make the application. It is the county council that has not made the application.
Okay, but I don't sit on it. Let Jim Codd in on this.
Blaming the county council is not the answer. It's a sad state of affairs
if the county council won't do what a minister asks. There's no doubt the county council needs to be shaken up on a number of things, and I've seen money available that wasn't always drawn down. So, I'm not going to get into a blame game on this. Where there is funding available, like in the place of housing, that money needs to be drawn down. Now, I can mention certain pieces of ground around the county that have been left idle, where the council could have been much more proactive. So rather than playing politics with it, yes, the council does need a shake at times as well.
Okay, let's move on to health, because I'm looking at the clock and I'm trying to be fair to all candidates. I'll start with you first off, Minister of State James Brown. The Irish healthcare system has been under ferocious pressure. Long waiting times and staff shortages. We still wait conclusive. We got confirmation from a Taoiseach the funding is there for SETU. The 97 beds, where are we with them for Wexford General Hospital?
Yeah, well, look, the Taoiseach has confirmed what I think was already well known and well confirmed in relation to the University for the South East. That was a play of football for a long time. This government has delivered a University for the South East. We delivered a multi-campus university, a site here in Wexford Town, and a master plan has been done, and the funding will be provided to build that. That's massively important for the economy of Wexford. In relation to the Wexford General Hospital, we've already seen and opened an extension to the emergency department, the new endoscopy unit. The hospital that actually had a major fire was rebuilt. Built back better, and a new MRI is currently under construction as well.
So what commitments are you going to make to reduce waiting lists then?
Because I want to answer your question on the 97 beds, that has gone through planning, it has gone through design, and enabling works will be starting very soon, including a new car park to go with the 97 bed extension. Wexford General Hospital's future has absolutely been secured under this. Outpatient waiting times have fallen dramatically. We've seen one of the largest increases in healthcare staff ever. There is a challenge in getting some staff into our hospitals, into our healthcare, because we are at full employment and we are issuing permits, and you know we are trying to locate and secure the type of staff that we need for those expertise types of
is it a number one priority for you? Healthcare
always has to be a number one priority, because I think it is so important, and that's why you've seen the dramatic increase of funding under the government under my time as a minister into Wexford General Hospital, because I think that is so important, and I know something you've championed yourself on.
Jim Codd, you're next.
Alan, thanks very much. I want to talk about the reality on the ground here for people in Wexford, right from Rat Newer down to the Ross Lair. They can't get a doctor. They simply can't get a doctor. I was told by a couple of principals the other day that the only doctor the children are seeing is care doc. You know, how have we allowed it come to this? And this is back to, we must get the doctors back here. And we're top heavy with administrators and managers. It's nurses and doctors and consultants we need. And if AIM2, if elected, what we will be pushing for is to introduce a 5-year freeze on the recruitment of administration and management, saving 30 million, and we will employ 3,500 more nurses and 400 more consultants. Operation Shamrock brings them back, and we need them. We've educated doctors and nurses for the rest of the world.
Operation Shamrock. Michael Sheen, healthcare, where does it stand on your priority list, please?
Can I tell you, Alan, My uncle went into hospital on the 4th of August and we buried them last week. So in between the 4th of August and then, I was in and out of the hospital on a regular basis. And the first thing I'd say to you is that our health service, be administrators or be doctors, medical professionals, are staffed with some of the best people you can ever meet. And they do a fantastic job in what is very challenging conditions. The second thing I would say to you in relation to that, there's a need in this county for an additional step-down facility. And I think, like, you know, in fairness, when the fire started, the minister did come down and he did his living best. Every government will do their living best for the health service as they see it. The difficulty is there's people in Wexford General now who should be in a step-down facility. Mm. And one of the things I want to do, if people will vote for me on Friday, particularly in the New Ross area, is that I want to see investment into the community hospital and into the Houghton Hospital and a step-down facility so that people who do not need to be in the hospitals can come out of it but don't need to be in a nursing home because they're not sufficiently well enough. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is I would go out there and recruit as many doctors on take off the embargo for the different therapies. I mean, we need a step-down facility. 15 years, Alan, we've been fighting for a primary care centre in New Ross, and I've gotten a letter from the minister to say, we're not even back to square one. We're below square one. And that's where all your step-down facilities. Now, the second thing is, here's the difficulty, and I agree with Jim on this. We need to have a situation where people are automatically entitled to a GP. One of the people that I was canvassing with the other day has to go to Arklow. He has to drive an hour and a half to go see a doctor because they can't get one in Ross. The difficulty is, and this is where working people are getting it in the neck, that if you don't have a medical card, a doctor doesn't have to take you on. Where if you do have a medical card and get three refusals, you can. And I think that's very unfair.
All right, I'm looking at the clock. We have to come back and discuss cost of living. Stay with us, please. We have in the studio Jim Coddy into James Brown, Fianna Fáil, Michael Sheen, Independent. I do sense a bit of a spark going on between yourself and James Brown here today.
Not at all. No, hold on a second. I'm standing as my own candidate, standing up to ask and to give the people of Wexford a choice for New Ross Town and the district. Mm. I mean, we're both passionate about politics, so don't take it as a spark of any kind. We're clear on what we're doing and we're putting our own cases forward. Come Friday, it's up to the people of Wexford to decide.
Our third talking point is cost of living, so I'll start with Jim Coddy on this one. So many people struggling with the rising cost of living. What do you think needs to be done to alleviate
financial stress? People are absolutely struggling with the rising cost of living, and the one thing that I get from people when I'm out canvassing, when they're under pressure, paying their rent, keeping petrol, diesel in the car, they're absolutely seeking that. The colossal waste of money that's happened under the last government, the 300 million Metro North and not a shovel in the ground, 22 million on medical ventilators that didn't work and 50,000 to store them, 100 electric buses purchased that didn't move for 18 months, 22 million on the referendum, 825,000 spent on the refurbishment of the toilets in the Department of Foreign Affairs, 70,000 on the three sets of curtains in Dublin Castle. So when people are struggling, and that's not mentioning the bus shelters and the phone pouches. So when people are struggling, and people in our hospitality sector, our farmers, our fishermen, and just I want to say, we were the party that have brought forward a suggestion to reduce VAT on hospitality to 9%, to reduce excise in pubs and restaurants by 10%. Per unit, encouraging people to come outside, and I mean, there's come outside and mingle in the local hostelries and restaurants. Yeah. And we were the only party, as well, let me tell you, to vote to stand up again the Mercosur deal, which is going to be brutal on farmers.
All right.
But anyway, we've been taking these courageous stands over and over again and calling it out. And by the way, on the beef bill, we were voted down by the government party when we wanted to stop the below cost selling of beef.
Okay, James Brown, Minister of State, in response there to what Jim Codd has described as a waste of money, cost of living, what can you do to improve the lot for people in County Wexford who are struggling?
Look, cost of living, I think, has been a serious issue for so many families right across this country. In the last 4.5 years, we've gone through COVID, war in Europe, the inflation crisis driven by that war in Europe, and a number of other very serious issues. And the government has steered its way through that to have one of the most successful economies in the world. And if you look at the United Kingdom, for example, its most recent budget, you're seeing massive cuts to benefits and supports right across the country. The same in Germany. Ireland Ireland's economy and its management and how this government has managed it, I think, is the envy of the entire world. So without a successful economy, you don't have the funding to help the people.
In so terms you, of you the say there are a lot of positives there.
So with that funding, we've been able to give significant relief to people. Now, it hasn't been able to take away all of the pain, and no government is ever going to be able to do that. But with the supports, the one-off payments, the multi-payments, and the broader increases, for example, in welfare payments and pension payments and other supports, we have been able to help that relief, and we need to do more. And that's why Fianna Fáil has very clear plans in our manifesto, for example, getting rid of the PSO levy on all of our electricity and gas bills and having that funding that's needed to improve our grid taken from central funds, tackling the regulators, which I think have not done a good job for the consumers, and other supports put in place, including increasing pension payments and other supports as well. But we have to get, I think, and we got control, we got that inflation under control, but unfortunately it is now built into the cost, and we have to find better ways of helping those people. And Fianna Fáil has a plan to do that, but we very much acknowledge it. But you have to recognise and acknowledge the absolute turmoil the world has been in for the last 4.5 years.
Michael Sheen, can I get your thoughts on cost of living? What would you do to address the issues, please?
Well, the first thing I would do, Alan, is I would go after the supermarkets. And the Competition Authority, which was merged in with the Consumer Protection Agency, should be brought out by itself once again and go after the major supermarkets to find out what is going on with prices. Why are they price gouging? Why is there cartel behaviour going on? There used to be a time when the supermarkets were varied in price, and you'll find now if you go across the shelves that they're more or less the same, no matter where you go. That's the first thing. The second thing, Alan, and as one who started it, and I'm not sure too many other candidates can say this, like, we have a food bank in New Ross that this year will hit 7,000 people. That is a lot. Now, you would think, and you would be forgiven for thinking that's all, you know, the vulnerable. It isn't. It's people who are working, who can't afford, by the time they pay the mortgage, the rent, the diesel, the creche fees, by the time they pay those, they have nothing left to pay for themselves. What we need to do is we need to go after the businesses to make sure that the prices are dropped. And yes, it is really good, and I think it's welcome that we can give money out wherever we can. The difficulty, if you're listening to this and you're at work, you're not getting any of those payments. All you're getting for Christmas is an extra shift at work. You know, you're not getting any bonus payments. You're not getting any... And yes, look, there is a rationale for that. And I understand that, and I can see where the government is going. But the difficulty it is, too many people in our community, in Wexford, are suffering. And our Oireachtas members need to go after the reasons why they're suffering, go after the companies, and to make sure that the taxes are coming down, and that you make sure that the VAT rates in the middle of our town are as close to zero as possible to give rural Ireland a fighting chance.
Okay. I've got to round off our discussion. We looked at three issues today. We looked at health, we looked at housing, and we looked at the cost of living, and that's where we must conclude. So I'll come back to you, Jim Codd. 30 seconds to explain why people should vote for you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Well, a vote for Jim Codd on Friday is a vote for a new TD and a new party. And if we keep putting in the same people, how can we expect different results? If in government, we will be accountable. And if in opposition, we will hold them to account. And if people outside my district don't know who I am, ask the people of Bridgetown about the flooding on Christmas Day and see how much I stood by the ordinary people on the ground.
Michael Sheen, before I get your 30 seconds, I have a number of people have contacted me to ask me to ask you, will you remain as an independent if you're elected and not rejoin Fianna Fáil?
Let me be crystal clear on this, Alan. I am contesting this as an independent candidate. I hopefully on Friday will be elected as an independent candidate, and I will remain as an independent candidate. Win, lose or draw, I'll be standing there for the people of South Wexford
as an independent.
I'm done. Okay. We're not going back there.
30 seconds as to why people should vote for you then, please.
Well, thanks, Alan. Well, look, I'm a very proud New Ross man. I was born there, I was raised there. After 25 years in party politics, I'm going to run, and now I'm going to stay as an independent, putting the people of Wexford first. I fought for local priorities for almost three decades. I have ambitious plans for Wexford, an independent 24 mental health service, affordable housing, real support in the community for working families who are literally dying to survive. In almost 20 years, New Ross can and needs its own local TD. And look, I accept I'm the underdog in this election, and I respectfully ask the people of New Ross Town and the district and the wider community in County Wexford to vote number one for me. If their number one is committed, I'm asking for their number two. What I really am asking is that the people of Wexford make a strong voice and make that voice count on Friday, Alan. Thanks a million.
Independent Councillor Michael Sheen, thanks to Jim Codd. I round off this debate with 30 seconds from Minister of State of the Department of Justice, James Brown. Why should people vote for you this coming Friday in the general election?
Thank you, Alan. One of my reasons for going into politics was because I love this county of Wexford, but it was a county that I was always underachieving. And I wanted to put in the elements into the county that could turn the county around in the medium and long term. That's why we've seen €250 million going into Rosser Europort to sort of becoming an economic driver for this county and the region. It's why I've been able to work with the government as a minister to deliver a university for the southeast, and with Wexford being a core element of that university, and significant funding into Wexford General Hospital to secure its future. And the M11 once again up and going as quickly as legally as possible. You've seen for the first time in 20 years as well.
Yeah.
The idea committing to a new advanced technological building, which is going to be in Enniscorthy Town, new armed support unit, and a new primary care centre up and running in Enniscorthy Town, and another one already agreed to be tendered. I've done a lot. However, I can deliver a hell of a lot more for this county, and I'm asking for people for their number one vote to continue that work.
I have to wrap it up there. I just want to acknowledge that this is the Wexford constituency. Within the Wexford constituency, the candidates are Stephen Power, the Irish People, Verona Murphy, non-party, Michael Sheen, non-party, Party, Johnny Mythen, Sinn Féin, Breedine Murphy, Fine Gael, Cathal Byrne, Fine Gael, Padraig MacDonald, Green Party, Jim Codd, Aintu, Jack Sorones, non-party, Mick Wallace, Independence for Change, George Lawler, the Labour Party, Martina Stafford, People Before Profit, Jason Murphy, the National Party, James Brown, Fianna Fáil, and Michelle O'Neill, Fianna Fáil.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix.